Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
So she likes to flirt with other guys.
Okay.
Except she's in a committed relationship. So is this considered cheating or not? He sure thinks so. Mo's got the email.
I found your podcast a while back, and I think you are all the perfect people to answer this question for me. Is flirting acceptable when you are in a long-term relationship? I've been dating my boyfriend for 2 years now, and from the very beginning, he's always been a flirt. He flirts with women everywhere we go. Servers, cashiers, even random strangers. He always claims he's, quote-unquote, just a friendly guy, and says the flirting helps him get discounts or better service. At first, I didn't think much of it. Maybe I thought it was harmless or just part of his personality. But lately, it's really started to bother me. I think I assumed he'd grow out of it or tone it down as we got more serious. But that hasn't happened. Now, I can't stand it. So again, is flirting ever okay when you're in a serious relationship? Something else I've considered. Since he's always been this way, is it even fair for me to ask him to change his behavior? Or is this an instance of you having to accept someone for who they are? I'd love to hear your thoughts and maybe your listeners' opinions, too. Thanks.
I feel it's just disrespectful. Even if there's something on the line, like he's flirting and it's not going to go anywhere. They're not going to exchange numbers. He's just doing it because he get a freebie here or a freebie there. It just feels disrespectful to me. And if I was with a partner that needed to do that to get discounts and stuff like that, I don't know.
I wish I knew.
I wouldn't say cheating. It just feels icky.
I feel that he needs to be a little more self-reflective and do more of a deep dive in himself as to why he does that. I think he tells himself it's for discounts and better service because it justifies it. But I think he may be dealing with some self-esteem validation issues.
Sure.
Where he feels like by flirting and getting that interaction, it makes him feel better about himself. And that's a deeper discussion.
I completely agree. I had a friend back when I lived in Florida who was in a really long-term serious relationship. I mean, they were probably together for 5 or 6 years at this point when we had this conversation. And we were out at a bar and a guy started flirting with her. And I asked her, I was like, you know, when that happens to you, like, how do you typically handle it? Because she didn't outright flirt with him in front of me. And she goes, you know, we have an agreement that like, as long as it's just flirting, it's no big deal. And I was like, oh, maybe that's really healthy. And then weirdly enough, as the years progressed and they're no longer together anymore, I sometimes wonder if maybe that was just a symptom of maybe some deeper problems in their relationship. Mm-hmm. That like, if you are really content in your relationship, why would you even really want to entertain anybody else?
So I'm trying to figure out here. I'm doing a soul searching and see if there's a little double standard going on here. If my lady comes back and she says she goes to a bar with a bunch of her girlfriends, right? And she's talking to some dudes in order to get free drinks. I'm trying to figure out how my knee-jerk reaction is, oh, that's cool. I mean, I know it's not going anywhere. And if these dudes are going to play the game, then go ahead and play the game. I 75% feel like that's true, but I also feel it's 25% icky for me.
That's why I wish I knew like the true details of what the flirting looks like, because I feel like flirting looks different for everybody.
Some people are just being nice.
And in my past, I've been in a relationship where I promise you I was just being nice. I was not going out my way to do anything extra, but she always felt like I was flirting out of just being nice, and I don't even think I know how to flirt. So I feel some people really are just really friendly people and they don't really intend to flirt. But if it's to the point where it's obvious that he's going out of his way to get discounts, then that's a problem in a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think I'm somewhat self-aware, and I acknowledge that being flirtatious is part of my personality. But I think I've evolved and it's not so much anymore because I don't want to be disrespectful to my husband. But I also acknowledge that, and that's why I threw out, like, maybe he needs to do a little more introspective deep dive, because it was a total validation, self-esteem thing for me. But if you're doing that, if you're seeking that in your relationship, if you're seeking that and you're in a relationship, you really need to take a hard look at your relationship and what you're not getting out of your relationship, that you're finding fulfillment in flirting with somebody else. I have definitely evolved in this area. There's no doubt about it. I used to be like, I remember Cassie and I went to LA and we were being flirtatious with some guys because they sent us drinks over, whatever. And we saw absolutely no problem with it. And it was just like, you know, a fun night. And I feel like the innocence of it, like the intent versus impact kind of thing now, like I stand by that. Like, there was no intent to do anything scandalous. But if you're looking at your partner, you want to be respectful of your partner, and your partner has an issue with it, you need to do something about it.
For sure.
The Burt Show.
Well, she proved last week that she had absolutely no idea where the college football championship game was going to be played when Kristen asked last week, oh, when is that and where is it? And I'm like, it's Monday right down the street.
It just felt like I hadn't heard a lot about the college football championship. And it makes sense now because there's not an SEC team in it.
Right.
And because we live in SEC country, had there been, I probably would have been a little more knowledgeable. But when you told me that OSU and Notre Dame.
Yes.
I dug deep for that one.
I saw it.
When you told me OSU and Notre Dame are in it, that it's going to be going down Monday and that it's happening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you will know this weekend that the game is here because you're going to see fans from Ohio State and Notre Dame, most likely all in shorts because the weather we have down here compared to where they are in Ohio and Indiana and stuff. This is fantastic, right? I'm not sure which fans travel better. I know Notre Dame fans are kind of nutty about that team, and they haven't won a national championship since 1988. And
damn.
Ohio State is up there all the time, and they haven't won a national championship since 2014. So I'm not exactly
sure. That's only 10 years ago.
Right. Notre Dame really, they really, really want this. We were warned by a Burt Show listener, though, about Ohio State fans that might be coming to Atlanta this weekend, and I wanted to read her message directly to you guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says, Dear Burt and all of Atlanta, brace yourselves. The Ohio State fans are en route. As a Georgia peach who is currently being held hostage by marriage in the frozen wasteland that is Ohio, I felt the need to prepare you for the unusual sounds and cultural behaviors these odd cult-like fans exhibit on the daily.
Have any of you ever been to an OSU game?
I have not been to an OSU game.
Is it rowdy?
Is an experience.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Does it match like what goes on in the SEC? Because somebody told me go to Penn State one time and you'll see the same thing. And I went and I'm like, not as good as the SEC.
I was in college. My roommate was from Ohio. Her family were big OSU fans. So Queenie took us to Ohio. We hung out with her family, did the tailgate, did the game, did the whole thing. Yeah, it was an experience.
They are hardcore, man. Yeah, they are super, super hardcore.
If I heard one person yell Buckeye, I heard a bajillion people yell Buckeye.
She says, be prepared for the random shouts of OH, followed by another weirdo responding with IO. Yes, they are smart enough to know how to spell their own state / school, but they like to remind everyone that they do know it. Please be advised, this is the verbal tick that is triggered by seeing another Buckeye fan in the wild. If they see the signs, they must make the sounds. 99.9% of their wardrobe is Buckeye swag of some kind, so be prepared to hear the call often. They are super easy to spot in the wild. Also, they will most likely, that's what I said, be wearing shorts when you see them. Yes, I know Georgia is freezing right now. Just know that Ohio is much colder. -3 wind chill in Columbus today. So the Ohio natives will feel like they are on the surface of the sun in Georgia, no matter how cold Atlanta is. They had this odd obsession with the word the. This strange obsession comes from the countless other schools here also using the state's name in their school's name. They cannot drive, so getting behind any Ohio tag is to be dreaded. It's like the Sunday drive from hell, no matter what they are driving. It is hellacious. If they win this game, they will race back to Ohio to celebrate. If they lose, they may stick around and explore your warm city longer. Pray they win and vacate your state as quickly as possible. They are generally polite. I will say this about Ohio, sidebar here. The states that I love the most because I find the warmest people are Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Indiana. Those three states, Pennsylvania outside of Philadelphia. The people are so nice, and Ohio is right there with them. She says, generally they are polite, but they can be a little odd when compared to the warm and genteel people of your great city. Best of luck as you all endure the wave of scarlet and gray that is descending upon you even now. Sincerely, a frozen peach. You will see it this weekend for sure.
Well written.
For sure.
That was well written.
All right, another thing you got to worry about on Monday outside of people from Ohio State and Notre Dame. There's so much stuff going on in the city on Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, so this is not something to worry about. This is something to be aware of.
More worrisome than anything else.
Yeah, so yeah, Atlanta's going to be a busy city this weekend, no doubt about it, especially because Monday is National Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and obviously Atlanta was his home. So you can visit his home. There's going to be all kinds of events celebrating his life and accomplishments. And we wanted to highlight some of those. So Monday, January 20th at 9 a.m., Ebenezer Baptist Church. People are very familiar with that name.
Sure, absolutely.
As, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was a preacher there. So they are going to have a commemorative service at 9 a.m. on Monday. And they're going to have a keynote speaker, Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II. And this is also going to be streamed live on Fox 5. Now, later on that day at 1:15 is going to be the King Day March and Rally. And this is going to start at the intersection of John Portman Boulevard Northwest and Peachtree Street. And this has been organized by the Interfaith Children's Movement. And the march spans approximately 1 mile and concludes at the King Center, where that's where the rally will begin at 3:30. There's also going to be an annual MLK Day parade in Forest Park in Fayetteville. And I thought this was really cool for parents if you want to educate your kids on why they have the day off school and who Martin Luther King Jr. is. The Children's Museum of Atlanta is doing something special starting tomorrow through Monday. And they're going to have interactive exhibits, including 39 footprints symbolizing Dr. King's life, activities, and historical footage. They're doing collaborations with the National Center for Civil and Human Rights and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. There's going to be performances, an MLK birthday parade, and dance party at 11 and 3. And then, of course, the I Have a Dream speech by Markel Williams at 1. So if you just really want to immerse yourself in why we celebrate this great man on Monday, there's so many things to do around his city of Atlanta on Monday and this weekend.
Yeah, be patient with each other downtown on Monday. It is going to be a bit of a cluster for sure. And, you know, outside of Martin Luther King and getting back to the game real quick, I always feel like a responsibility when there are people from out of state in our state, if they're going the wrong way, give them a little bit more patience, help them out along the way. I feel like we got a responsibility for the city, because they might only have interaction with one person from Atlanta. Mm. So you are making an impression about our city and our state on one person, and I think that's a tremendous responsibility.
I feel like everybody should feel that same exact way. I'm not sure they do, but that is a great way to lead. Yes, absolutely.
It's not a hassle. It's bringing a lot of money into our city.
For sure.
For sure. Have a great Martin Luther King Monday.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Could have been easily predicted that this was going to escalate off the air big time. So it was, Rachel that called us a couple of days ago. And she's like, Burchill, can you help me out here, man? I've got a friend. I think her name was Michelle. She is dating a married man, and I am doing everything I can to talk her out of this. It has been an absolute mess. So she recruited us to try to talk some sense into her friend Michelle in a very roundabout way, though.
Yeah, so Rachel's plan was that the Burt Show could bring back Mistress Mondays, which is a real segment we used to do back in the day. And
we should bring that thing back. I forgot how powerful that was.
I will put it on the schedule, sir. So Rachel's like, okay, pretend like you're bringing back Mistress Mondays. Hit her up and be like, hey, anonymous source said that you're dating a married man. We're bringing back Mistress Mondays. We want to have you on Monday so we can talk, blah, 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 blah. And that was, she wanted to kind of like scare her friend straight out of dating this married man with kids nonetheless. Well, Michelle responds quite quickly back to Tommy, and she's like, I do not consent to this. I don't know. Tell me your anonymous source, ASAP. Like, this is a breach of confidentiality. But like, she was not having it, and she wanted no part in it whatsoever. Michelle is a listener of the show, so...
Yeah, that was the fatal flaw in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And is like, that she wanted us to manipulate a friend that listens to the show.
Low flow it.
Yeah.
Whoops. And so, you know, Rachel has used fake names. Like, the mistress isn't really having an affair with Dick, but that made for a good fake name for the segment. But there has been some fallout between Rachel and Michelle since we talked about this. And since we talked about this earlier this week, so we just got to figure out what happened between the two of them.
Yeah, we got to get Rachel back on because you know there's going to be hell to pay. Hey, Rachel, good morning.
Hey.
All right. Did this go down like we thought it was going to go down? That Michelle probably heard what was going on at the Bird Show. Then she immediately calls you.
Yeah. Oh, my God, guys. So, yeah, I thought this was going to scare her enough to finally cut things off with Dick. But instead, yeah, as you imagine, she's livid with me.
Wait, what?
So, like.
Say that again.
After.
She's livid with her.
Livid.
Livid.
Yeah. Of course she is.
I think we kind of saw that coming, Rachel, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, as you predicted, after you sent her the email, Mistress Monday, of course, she listened. And she called me right after the show screaming. And she said that I humiliated her and I betrayed her trust and that I have no right to interfere with her personal life. For the record, but like you said, we use fake names. For me, her, and Dick. Like, I told her, well, maybe you shouldn't be sneaking around with a married guy if you don't want to be humiliated.
Oh, hopefully you didn't laugh like that when you said it, Rachel.
It's all fun and games. So are you guys like in a shouting? Are you in a shouting match at this point? Is it just getting super, super heated? Is she listening to what you're saying? Is she getting more, even more defensive at this point?
It's mostly her shouting at me, and I occasionally get to shout back a sentence or two. She's telling me I'm jealous, which is insane, because trust me, there is nothing in this situation to be jealous of. She accused me of ruining her life. I told her she's doing a good job of that on her own. Ooh. And then she hung up on me and blocked me on everything, which is fine, I guess. I love her, but I'm not going to sit by and watch her be a villain in her own story and someone else's story. I just wish she'd wake up and see that Dick isn't worth it for all this.
That's
a lot of people can use that lesson.
Save that.
That needs to be inside of a fortune cookie that women get.
No, yes, sir. We need one of those.
Worth all the drama.
We need one of those inspirational posters. And with that, just that quote right there in the middle of it.
Right. Tommy, yes.
I'll make a t-shirt.
Yes.
So Michelle's been listening.
Right now?
Yep.
Oh. Oh,
she's not too happy.
What do you, so she's been listening, like.
She's on the line.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Do we have your, well, I mean, we don't need it, but this is going to probably get heated. Can we take Michelle on here?
Yeah, she's blocked me everywhere else. Let's do it here. Let's do it.
All right. Hold on. Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. So, no problem. Thank you. And to my so-called best friend, since we aren't using real names, how could you? How could you? You had no right to air my business like that. Do you know how much damage you've caused?
Oh, now you care about damage? What about Dick's wife and kids? Like, what about their lives? I'm just trying to save you from yourself.
Well, and to be fair...
Save me?
To be fair, she didn't use your name or anything like that, so I don't know about ruining lives and stuff. Like, it might be embarrassing, but nobody really knows who you are.
Well, I do, and she does. You humiliated me. You went behind my back, fed my private life to a radio show, and acted like you're some moral authority. Guess what? You're not perfect either. This is no longer about Dick. It's about my so-called best friend stabbing me in the back. I trusted her, and she turned me into a public spectacle.
Would you be happier if we called you Jane?
Dick and Jane. Uh-huh. You're an idiot.
No.
Hey, okay, maybe there's some like good that can come out of this, because really what we're talking about here is like this. She's concerned about you more than anything. It's a value difference that the two of you guys had. Should she have called a radio station and handled it that way? Probably not. But at the end of the day, she's concerned about you and you sacrificing what she feels is the values that you've shown her all these years. Does that make any sense?
This is really nobody's business. This is not your business. This is not her business. So I don't care what type of lesson she's trying to teach or whatever, but this sad attempt at destroying my life did not work, and I'm done with you.
All right, look, it's real simple. I'm not the bad guy here. You are.
Is she gone?
I think she's... Did Michelle hang up?
Michelle?
Oh, yeah, she's done with me, so...
Pretty
yeah,
sure she's blacked us by now, so...
So that was Michelle that hung up?
Dang it, Rachel, yep. You make us lose a listener.
Yeah, I'm here still. I didn't do this to hurt her. I did it to help her see the truth. But if she's more worried about me than what she's doing to herself and that family, then maybe she's not the person I thought she was, and we probably shouldn't be friends.
Yeah, you know, we had this this debate after I think we got off with you. It's just that, is this an offense, like a value offense, in your own relationship where you would give up the friendship because what your friend is doing so wrong in your eyes, you know? And clearly, this is where you're at.
Yeah, for sure. These are not my values, and I didn't think they were hers. I am shocked.
She has no interest in taking accountability, so I guess at this point, I just got to...
I mean, she's embarrassed, too. She's humiliated. I mean, hearing it between friends is one thing, but hearing it publicly... I mean, I understand. I'm not saying what she's doing is right. I'm just saying I understand why she's so upset and why she feels so betrayed.
I mean, I get it, too. Like, I mean, if you feel like her values don't align with yours, but I got to be honest... I feel real icky with this whole friendship breakup happening right before our eyes. Like, this is somebody that you're supposed to care about. And it does to me, at least from an outside perspective. And I love drama. I love mess. It kind of feels like you betrayed her by, instead of just handling this behind the scenes, wanting to embarrass her out of making the decision that you would make when she's living her life differently.
Aren't you the friend, this friend though? I mean, don't you say that...
Am I the friend that airs out their drama on the radio?
Not on the radio, but you would be the one because you say that you meddle in your friend's relationships, right? Wouldn't you be the one that would have approached her and said, hey, what are you doing? What are you absolutely doing here?
I would approach her. I don't know if I would necessarily want to embarrass her. And I really do feel like that's the root of this is that, you know, Michelle, I'm not condoning what she's done. I just don't think this was the right thing to do as a friend if you really wanted the best for her.
The radio part is.
The radio. Yeah, yeah. And don't get me wrong. I know this is good for us. But like for them, it makes me sad.
No, I mean, and Rachel did. Like, this was a last ditch effort on Rachel's part. She did confront her friend. She told her this was like, this was gross and that she's better than this, blah, 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 whatever. And like she said, it fell on deaf ears. So Rachel felt like this was a last ditch effort to get her to see that she shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. But obviously this is just blown up into something completely just...
Yeah, this friendship is over.
That's
yeah.
A wrap.
Rachel, I don't know how to rectify it with the two of you guys. I have no idea at all. I am guessing that this friendship is over at least for a while.
Let it breathe.
Yeah, we don't need to rectify anything. Okay. I don't need problematic and toxic people in my life like that. And if she can't take accountability now, she's not going to later, so...
Can't hold her for that. Yeah, okay. That's it.
Okay. Stand on business.
Nope. The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+ TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There is one woman that nobody has really paid attention to in this feud between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni that I think people need to take a closer look at, because after reading the 179-page lawsuit that Justin Baldoni filed against Blake Lively, I feel like none of this would have happened if it wasn't for her. And I'm not talking about Blake Lively.
Colleen Hoover?
No. I'm talking about Justin Baldoni's former publicist, Stephanie Jones. Now, I want to make the distinction that this is not Melissa Nathan, who was the PR rep for Johnny Depp that everyone was talking about, that Justin Baldoni hired when he realized he needed somebody that was more fluent in crisis PR.
Was this after the New York Times article came out?
No, this is before. Okay. So this is happening in the summer. So let's backtrack to the summer between the end of production and the movie getting released. So this would have been almost a year ago. So Justin Baldoni was a client of Stephanie Jones. Now, Stephanie Jones has repped Tom Brady, Dwayne The Rock Johnson at one point, a lot of heavy hitters. Now, in this lawsuit, Justin Baldoni is alleging that they never really worked specifically with her. They actually worked with somebody named Jennifer Abel, who was one of her employees. They allege that she was, quote unquote, busier with the bigger celebrities, whereas Justin Baldoni, still kind of earning his stripes, he's alleging that they didn't get a lot of attention from Stephanie Jones. Now, last year, Stephanie Jones was getting some really bad PR from Business Insider, basically saying that she had some really toxic workplace, had a toxic workplace environment. And so they released an article. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's team had a big falling out with her. So then that massive client ended up dropping out of Stephanie Jones' PR. And so he's alleging, because of all of this and all of the turmoil that she was experiencing in her professional life, she then started trying to insert herself into the work that Jennifer Abel and Justin Baldoni were already doing when some of the PR stuff was starting to happen in the news against Justin Baldoni. And he's like, whoa, like you're coming in and like starting to mess some stuff up. Like we kind of have this handled. You haven't been a part of any of this. And now that you're losing all these clients, you are trying to look like you've come in to swoop in and save the day. So apparently what happens behind the scenes is that Stephanie Jones ends up, calling Jennifer Abel at like all hours of the night, kind of being in a frenzy and very erratic. And Jennifer Abel's like, this is insane. And then there was some stuff that happened with Justin Baldoni's team. We need to part ways. So they end up firing Stephanie Jones. Because of this, Stephanie Jones ends up taking custody of Jennifer Abel's phone, which had her personal phone number attached to it. She's allegedly had this phone number since high school. So think of like that number that you've had for the last 20 years. That's your phone number. So Jennifer's like, fine, you can take my phone, but please just give me my phone number back, because without that phone number, I don't have access to my bank accounts, to the ability to pay my mortgage, all of that, because all those text messages are going to get sent to your phone. So allegedly, she doesn't give her the phone number back for like another month. She's holding her phone hostage. And this is why this is important. Stephanie Jones ends up being a part of the lawsuit with Blake Lively against Justin Baldoni.
His own
former PR person, who they are alleging actually even recommended they do a PR smear campaign against Blake Lively. So then all of that happens, allegedly. And then she, like Benedict Arnold's them, goes to Blake Lively's camp, takes the phone from Jennifer Abel, who is still working with Justin Baldoni and who had worked with him with all of this PR stuff, and says, here's all these text messages. You can now use this against him in the
court
of law.
She's a turncoat.
She's a turncoat, allegedly.
I am super curious. You know, we used to have somebody come on with us that had some insight into this whole thing. I just didn't think she was real great on the radio. But I really wish that there was... I think this is just an example of what goes on in Los Angeles on a much larger, this is the largest, right? I think this is happening every day in Los Angeles between publicists and this person trying to ruin that person and this person trying to, it's no different than Washington, D.C.
I think it is the biggest case of all of it. And I hope it really like changes the PR tactics that people use, because I think people are really getting a bad taste in their mouth looking at celebrities thinking, oh my gosh, like how have my opinion's been skewed based off of the malicious work behind the scenes. And to an extent, I think some of it is defense. Like when you're a public person and your business is your reputation, like sometimes you do need PR, you need to need to play defense. But this is some nasty work if it's all true. So I'm actually going to finally reveal what Blake Lively's camp is saying in response to this lawsuit.
So we do have a response to the $400 million lawsuit.
We do have a response. I will read it to you on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba.
Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.